Well, I thought I might get a great big introduction as a guest speaker today, but guess not.
So,
I'll be a little bit scared of that. Got to watch who you let introduce you to as well in this world. But it is good to see you today. It's good to be here, and you do need to be praying for lots of things today. Oh, Brother Kelzer told me, he said, don't boo us. I said, but I'm not going to boo you. I said, it works both ways, you know. I don't want you to boo me either yet. But it is good to see. It's good to have those who visit with us. Good to see Brother Benny and Mary Pat back with us. And a lot of these folks over here that we've known down through the years. I know Donna's mass as a Massey, but way back there. So anyway, it's good to have all of you with us today. And be praying for Brother Josh. He's away, and he'll be coming back home, and you need to pray for him as your pastor. And also pray for Brother Butch. Brother Butch got a pretty good schedule coming up. He's got to be down at Meadow Creek, I think, this week for, what, one night or two nights or one night. So be remembering him. He's going to Rose Chapel for the next 2 weeks, so he's got his work cut out for him as well. So be remember him in your prayers. You'll remember that while I was pastor here for a while, for a few days, I always said, if you got something wrong with you, you want the Bluestone Baptist Church praying for you. You've heard me say that a lot of times. Boy, how I found that. See, I found out a lot of those things I said have come true in my own life, and we've experienced that. I remember being in nursing homes and praying for God's presence to be real with those folks, and every day they could enjoy the presence of God with them and so forth. And boy, that's really been a great experience for me as we have experienced the presence of God. We live daily in the presence of Almighty God, and it's just been a great time. Everything that folks said was going to happen to me was bad, turned out to be good. And so you find out that's the way God works in your life. And he gives you a few trials and experiences of life to strengthen your faith. And so our faith is, boy, we've gotten a lot stronger than we were. And we're a great deal closer to the Lord than we've ever been. And so, and the family, it's been tremendous. And you've been tremendous to be praying for us. And that's made everything a whole lot easier. Don't have time to talk about that this morning, though. Got to talk about the Word of God. So turn with us to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. Hebrews, chapter number 3. Because I've learned something about life and about faith and how wonderful it is to just actually have your faith in the Lord and just trust Him for everything of life. See, that's what happens to you when you get when you have a sickness and you find out that you're helpless to do anything about it. And so you just turn it over to the Lord, and you just let the Lord take care of all things in your life. And when you do that, you find out, boy, he's really true to his word. He's faithful. He'll do exactly what he said that he'll do. So if you have your Bibles open there to chapter 3, I want to look at a few verses in chapter number 3 this morning. And our text will be found in verse number 19 of this passage. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, and this is the Holy Ghost speaking to us, this is the Apostle Paul, we believe, speaking to believers, the Jewish believers, and of course encouraging them not to do like that had happened to their past in their past history, and just to stay close to God and let God, of course, have His way in their lives. So he says, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. That's earthly rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. What is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? And this is the text. So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. And so we want to talk this morning about the tragedy of unbelief. Let's bow our heads and hearts in just a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house today. Thank you for your many blessings that you've bestowed upon us. We thank you, Lord, that you're with us always, day by day. And Father, we know that you have taught us in your word that you would never leave us nor forsake us. You have taught us in your word to come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly to that throne that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Father, we thank you so much for just being with all of us day by day to lead us, to guide us, that we might be, Lord, what you'd have us to be, and that we might glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray now, Father, that you'll bless us as we look into the Word of God together this morning. May he, the Holy Spirit, lead us, guide us, and direct us. And Father, we pray for his anointing upon the message today. We'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. For we do pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We see the book of Hebrews focuses on Jesus Christ. The writer wants us in chapter 2, verse number 9, to see him. In chapter 3, verse number 1, he wants us to not only see him, but he wants us to consider him. That means to take some time, look into the Word of God, and not only see the Lord Jesus Christ, but consider him. And then he tells us in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, to keep our eyes of faith fixed on him. And that's where ought to be our focus every day of our lives, is to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever you're tempted, you see, to look at circumstances or at yourself, you don't look there, folks. Don't look at circumstances. They'll discourage you. We don't need to look at those things and look at ourselves. But we look to Jesus, you see, by faith and rejoice in his faithfulness to us as believers in Christ. Now, the children of Israel were overthrown in the wilderness because they believed not his word and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. So that tells us that we need to be attentive. We need to be listening to the voice of God and listen to the word of God. Oh, the book, and he tells us that in Psalm chapter 106, in verses 21 through 26, he talks about what happened back in the wilderness. He says, they forgot God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things or awesome things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Yea, they despised the pleasant land. And listen, they believed not his word, but murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness. And so it speaks clearly, tells us very plainly that unbelief, you see, hinders a person from being what God wants them to be. For example, we see that unbelief hinders the sinner from entering into the salvation of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And it also hinders many of God's own people from entering, you see, into the fullness of the blessing. God wants us to enjoy the fullness of the blessing that we have, that he has made for us by his death upon the cross. But we don't always enter into the fullness of blessing, and we not always enter into a life that's satisfied in God and victorious, you see, in his name. And it's all because of unbelief. Now, we talk about unbelief among those who are lost and haven't received the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, they need to have faith because it can't be saved any other way but faith. And of course, we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But we know that's the only way of salvation. So, but we talk about sinners who will not believe. But we also know that even as believers, many times, folks do not believe and trust the Lord as they should completely, you see, and fully and wholly. And because of that, they don't enjoy all the blessings that God has for you. You'd just be amazed at what God has for you out there. If you'll just believe God, you see. Take him at his word. Be like Abraham of old. Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. He didn't stagger not, you know, in unbelief, but he believed God. He trusted God. He had faith in God. And my, look what God did for Abraham. And what God has done for Abraham, what God has done for others, folks, you'll find out that he can do for you as well if you just trust him and believe him. Now, we know that these that provoked the Lord back to the wilderness, it was not because they did not know God's will. They knew God's will. They knew it was God's will that they should go in and possess the land. Yet, even in knowing that, yet you see they perished outside the land and did not enjoy the earthly rest that God had for them. God didn't bring them out, folks. God didn't bring them out of Egypt to die in the wilderness. That wasn't the purpose of God. We see that the purpose of God far exceed anything that we could ever imagine or think as far as that's concerned. But we saw even the book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 14, verse number 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? See, they forgot God. There were graves in Egypt, folks. There was hardship in Egypt. There was difficulties in Egypt. And so he didn't bring them out of the bondage of Egypt to die in the wilderness. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians that we should die in the wilderness. Not so, folks. That's not true. It wasn't better for them to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness because that wasn't God's plan for them. It was God's plan for them to come out of bondage in Egypt and into and enjoy the fruits, you see, of the land of Canaan. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you this day. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. I like that last word. You'll never see them again. And so they were brought out of bondage never to see these Egyptians again, never to see those who had held them captive, never to see those who had held them in bondage all these years. Never to see them again. One day, by the grace of God, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. And you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're still alive and remain, we shall be caught up in the air to meet the Lord in the air. And guess what? We will never see those folks who, you know, in this world who were opposed to God and the enemies of God. We'll never see them or hear them again. And we could say amen to that, can't we? As we hear these things today, to try to discourage us in our walk with the Lord. You see, God didn't bring you out of bondage of sin and Satan for you not to enjoy the inheritance that we have in Christ. He wants you to enjoy the inheritance as children of God, as sons of God, as those who are heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet, you see, even though we know that, believers know that they tarry and the murmur in the wilderness of unbelief. We must move as believers. We must just simply believe God. Take him at his word and trust him every step of the way, and you enjoy the blessings of God. So it was not because they did not know the will of God. They knew the will of God. And a lot of folks today who say, I'd like to know the will of God, they don't really want to know the will of God. If they did, they'd get into the word of God and they would find the will of God for their lives. And so we know the will of God. Let's just do what God says in his word. Just do what James says. James says, don't just be hearers of the word of God. Be ye doers of the word of God. And so we need to just listen to God, listen to his word, and trust his word, and obey his word, and we'll see the blessings of the Lord in our lives. So it wasn't because they didn't know the will of God. They knew the will of God. And it was not for want of evidence of God's power. They had seen the power of God. And if you've paid any attention, you've seen the power of God in your life. You've seen it in your own life. If you're saved, you have seen the power of God at work in your life. You've seen that how God has saved you. Not only has He saved you and made you alive with Christ, He says. Remember in Ephesians, He says that we're alive, that we, you know, with Christ. We are together with Christ. Not only are we alive with Christ, we have been resurrected with Christ. And not only have we been resurrected with Christ, but we are seated with Christ in heavenly places today. All together, you see, with the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I have seen the power of God in our lives. And it's not because, you see, the one of evidence is that those people in Moses' time stayed in the wilderness and died in the wilderness. It was not because they had not seen the power of God. They had seen the power of God. They had been eyewitnesses of many wonders that He wrought. They saw the plagues of Egypt. They saw the Red Sea experience. They saw water out of the rock. They saw the manna from heaven, the provision of God for their lives. Surely in the heavens above and in the earth beneath and within the domain of the human soul and the Word of God, there are abundant proofs of the power and presence of Almighty God. And we see that power, of course, which speaks to us and tells us that God will fulfill all the promises He hath made. You can rest assured. You can take it to the bank. My dad used to say you can put it on the wall where the cat can't scratch it out. You can do that because it's God. It is God who has promised. It is God who has power to do exactly what He says He will do. Remember in Joshua's testimony, one of the great men of God. No wonder Joshua kind of likes his name. One of the great men of God, Joshua, in chapter 23, in verse number 14, he's ready to leave this life. And notice what it says. He says, "And behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing, not one single thing has failed thereof." God will always do what He says He will do. So it wasn't because they had not seen the power of God. And it's not because we have not seen the power. You can look out into the universe and see the power of Almighty God. In fact, the invisible things, the Word of God says, may be understood or rendered intelligible, you see, by the things which are visible. So they are without excuse, the Bible says. Oh, in the book of Romans, in chapter 1, the book of Romans, in verse number 20, the Word of God teaches us, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." We can clearly see the invisible things, the Word of God says, if we just pay attention, if we just listen, if we just open our eyes, if we see what God has for us. He says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are all without excuse." There's no excuse because we can see the power of God manifested all around us. You see, if you're unsaved today, or a believer not experiencing all the spiritual blessings you see we have in Jesus Christ, it's because you have been shut out because of your unbelief. Believe God. Take Him at His word. Trust Him. And you'll see things that you've never seen before. Also, we know it was not for want of seeing the fruits of the land. They knew what was over in the land of Canaan. They had seen the fruits of the land of Canaan. In fact, He tells us that in Numbers chapter 13, verse number 26, very clearly in that passage in the book of Numbers that they had seen these things. They had seen the fruits of the land of Canaan. In the book of Numbers, in chapter 13 and verse number 26, it says they had sent out the spies, you remember? Now, folks, you don't have to spy out what God's told you. You don't need to spy it out. Just, you see, take Him at His word. Because you'll find it to be absolutely the truth. And so, but they had to send out spies because some folks did not believe. And so they sent out the spies. Remember, and they came back and they went and came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Not only did they come back and testify, but they showed them the fruit of the land. But in spite of that, you see, they decided that they could not go over and conquer the land. Folks, what does the Bible tell you and I as believers today? He tells us we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us and gave Himself for us on Calvary. So we see that they saw the fruits. They saw those fruits plentiful. And they knew that they could not grow those kind of fruits in the wilderness. They know that. And I'm sure they wanted something better than they were experiencing in the wilderness as they journeyed day after day. Fruits, you see, that they could never grow in the wilderness were laid before their eyes, yet they failed because of unbelief. You see, unbelievers today are not without the same powerful evidence. The fruits, unbelievers can see the fruits of a Canaan life. Love, you see, expressed toward enemies. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Power of God. These are fruits, you see, that cannot grow on nature's barren soil. They're not fruits that can grow on the life of an unbeliever. These are fruits that are manifested by the Holy Spirit in the life of those who have been saved by the grace of God. And so the fruit of the Spirit in the Christian's life is a revelation, folks, to those outside the good and pleasant land of what it's like to enjoy the blessings of God. And it's more than tremendous. It's more than, you'll find it's more than awesome what God can do. And we've seen that all through our experience. People told me how dreadful things were. How dreadful things would be. Like, you never want to have a bone marrow. They said, terrible. Oh, it's awful pain that you have. And I came out that, I had me a little bit concerned, to be quite honest, about that, the awful pain and the terror. And when I got through that day, I hadn't felt a pain. Didn't feel a pain. Not one single pain. And he told me how bad this, and I'm sure it is. I just know what God's doing. I know it's bad, some of these things that I'll tell you about. But even taking chemo, which I got to take Tuesday and Wednesday again this week, they told me how bad, probably going to get so sick. And I could say, this is so funny, I can't tell it. I'm a little emotional too, but she brought waste baskets. Because I was taking chemo. And in the house, in the car, everywhere. And all those things. Can't eat a thing, they said. Well, I had no experience in that. My wife will testify. Why I eat like a pig. And I'm enjoying my eating and so forth and so on. And none of those things, and I know why. It's not because of me. It's because of God. It's because of what God has done in your life, and God will do those things for you if you just trust Him and believe Him and put it in His hands. I found out to do that. And if you'll do that, you'll find that God will meet you deep. Now, that doesn't mean that He's going to take care of everything through this experience. I know that. And I know that one day we all will die according to the Word of God. It's appointed unto men once to die. After this is judgment. I'm not talking about that. And I'm not even saying that God has healed me. Because I don't really know that. But I just know that whatever happens, it's in God's hands. And He'll take care of it. That's what these folks failed to believe. They would not believe that. They could not believe that God could take them over into the land of Canaan. They did not believe that God could slay giants before them. You see, because of unbelief, because they weren't trusting God, they didn't enjoy the blessings of Almighty God. Now, don't apply what I've experienced to other people, because and say that they don't have faith or nothing. Don't do that, because that's not true. Everybody's unique, and everybody has their own experiences, and everybody doesn't experience things the same way. But you see, God wants for us something better. And I'm sure that these folks, they also wanted something better in their life. And if you want something better, if you're unsaved, Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, see, because you can see the evidences of Jesus Christ all around you. It was not for the want of desire for something better, because they could not have been satisfied in the conditions they were in the wilderness. You see, yet, even though they wanted something better, they didn't receive it because of unbelief in their lives. And multitudes, I think, are conscious today of the need of something better and more satisfying life, yet refusing, you see, to believe God's word concerning His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're never going to really experience life until you experience the life that Jesus gives you. You see, the world has you blinded, and Satan has you blinded. The god of this world hath blinded your eyes and minds, that you don't see the truths of the Word of God, and you don't see the benefits and the blessings of being a child of God. And of course, as long as you let Satan blind you, and you'll not receive the truth of the Word of God, and of course the wooing of the Holy Spirit and the drawing power of the Holy Spirit to draw you to Christ, until the Holy Spirit grips your soul and your heart and your mind, you'll never enjoy the blessings of Almighty God. Multitudes, you see, are conscious of needing something more and a more satisfying life, yet they refuse to believe the Word of God. The evil heart of unbelief, he tells us in verse 12. What a tragedy it is to let that destroy your life as a believer or as an unbeliever. Take heed. Now, notice what he says in verse number 12. Take heed, brethren. He's talking to believers. He's not talking to unbelievers. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. My, we must be on our toes, because it's a tragic thing to let unbelief destroy your life. I'm going to end the message this morning with two quotes. The first one by John Phillips. And he says about this passage of Scripture and about these people, he says, unbelief triumphed. Unbelief won the victory. Don't let unbelief win the victory in your life. And he goes on to say, they were saved, but they never enjoyed Canaan. They settled for less than God had for them. A people who had trusted God to bring them out of Egypt simply refused to trust God to bring them into Canaan. As a result, they lost not their salvation, but the joy, the peace, the rest of God intended for them in the promised land. And then Charles Stanley said this. He says, therefore, seeing these things, knowing these things, therefore, refuse to doubt. I like that. Refuse to doubt. Don't let doubt crowd out your faith. He says, refuse to doubt, like David confronting Goliath or Moses standing before the Red Sea. Refuse to accept defeat. Know that God is waiting to reveal His mighty provision to you, and rejoice in the fact that He will never fail you. You can trust Him. You can trust Him till the end, until you're ushered without fault, without blame, into the presence of Almighty God. If you're here today without Christ, may we encourage you to come out of the bondage of sin and trust in the living God. If you're here as a believer, God's spoken to your heart today, you need to come. You come. As we sing from the hymn of this morning, and whatever that need is, you bring it to the Lord. He alone can satisfy the need of your life and your heart. As we sing, as the Holy Spirit leads and guides, may you come. Come as the Holy Spirit directs you to come this morning as we sing. 345. 345.